Does God ever follow you with something? Does he ever kind of keep saying the same thing to you? If you've never experienced that, can I suggest you're not listening? Because I think God often wants to speak to us, and he often has to say the same thing to us over and over and over again. God this year has said to me, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. God's been saying that to me for weeks, months. God's been saying that to me for months. In September, my good friend Chris Ford was on a conference somewhere, and he sent me a text. It just said, word of the day, Jeremiah 6:16. I had to look it up. Oh, that's a good one, isn't it? And then about 8 weeks later, Chris and I were together at a Christian book thing, and there was a guy speaking, one of the vicars from St. Olgate's in Oxford, and he gets up to speak, and he starts with Jeremiah 6:16. And I looked at Chris, and Chris goes, I sent you that. I said, oh, no. And then he didn't speak about it at all. Now, that's weird, isn't it? It's almost like he's gone, oh, there, hang on, what was that, Lord? Oh, just put that in there for Nick, would you? Didn't mention it again at all. A few weeks later, Ange and I were at a leaders thing at Life Church, and one of the speakers gets up and speaks, and again, quotes Jeremiah 6:16, and then doesn't speak about it at all. It's just like the Lord's going, oh, Nick, are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Stand, stop, look, ask. Okay, Lord, I'm getting the impression you might be speaking to me. And when God says something to you three times, you need to get hold of that. If you look through Scripture and see where the Lord repeats himself, those things are particularly important. I'm not saying I'm elevating one bit of Scripture above the rest, but I am. Those things are particularly important. Why does Paul give his testimony three times? Particularly important. God is speaking. He's speaking to Nick. That's good, isn't it? Hey, speaks to the pastor. Does that make you feel happier? Hey? It should, honestly, you don't seem that enthused. It should do. But he's speaking to us. The Lord has got a word for us. This is the word for us this year. He wants us to hear. The bit that I didn't read in Jeremiah, I will now read. Because there's consequences here. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. I appointed watchmen over you and said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But you said, we will not listen. Therefore, hear, O nations, observe, O witnesses, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, I am bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their schemes, because they have not listened to my words and have rejected my law. Don't be like the people who do not hear what God says, who say, I will not listen. Don't be like them. We're called to hear and do. To hear and do. Have you ever read Jeremiah? You know that Jeremiah at times is brutal. He didn't get the memo. You know the memo that says, I'm going to give you some bad news, so I'll say something nice about you first. Oh, Nick, I like your jeans. Preaching's shocking. You got a lovely shirt. You know that? You know that thing? It's the modern style of giving critique. There's three or four bits of Jeremiah which are really uplifting, aren't they? You know, Jeremiah 29:11, you know, God's going to bless you. But if you read Jeremiah 29:7, it says, sort your lives out before God blesses you. That great bit in about, is it Jeremiah 18, the potter, or 17? The potter in the clay, and I bet Pete Caulfield's wrote a song about that. Hasn't he? We're the clay, and God molds us fantastic. And if you read on in Jeremiah, you discover Jeremiah buying a pot and then smashing it because the people do not listen to what God says. That is the message of Jeremiah consistently. There is some of these great high points, but most of you are saying, you guys are a nightmare. Oh, when was the last time we preached Jeremiah? Never. Because it's so hard. When I learned to preach, and honestly, I did learn. When I learned to preach, I was in a class of 12 would-be pastors with a couple of missionaries thrown in as well, but mostly people aiming to be ministers, vicars, whatever you want to call us. And there was one guy in that group who, I don't know why he was in that group, he was a total introvert, not only in his own kind of energy, but with people. He wouldn't talk to people. He hated being in front of people, which is a crazy thing, isn't it? When your job is standing in front of people. And we had to preach to our small group, including our preaching lecturer. His name was Derek Tidball. At one point, he'd been president of the Baptist Union. At that point, he was still speaking every year at Spring Harvest and Keswick. There's 12 of us in this room with this bloke. And we had to do a 12-minute sermon. And then everybody else had to critique the sermon, including Derek. And my mate Mike gets up to do his sermon, and I'm already thinking it's going to be a disaster. You know, he couldn't speak to me in the over a coffee. You know, he's a mumbler. You think, I'm bad. He was terrible. And he gets up and he preaches from I will use the phrase, obscure passage in Isaiah. It was really strange. His sermon was really strange. And we're all thinking, what are we going to say? Because we don't want to be Jeremiah. We don't want to say, mate, you picked the wrong profession. You know, you're 3 years into a degree that's cost you a fortune, but you know what? Go back to plumbing. because this is not for you. Don't you wish some people had spoke that word over some pastors? Don't you wish that? God must love a boring sermon. He made so many boring preachers. Derek, thankfully, starts to critique and says to Mike, well, I applaud you for your choice of scripture. After that, it became a bit more Jeremiah. Jeremiah here is saying this lovely verse, but if we take this lovely verse out of context, we are being fools. We need to take these verses. We need to hear the joy in them, but we also need to know that God is saying, don't come to me at the end of next year and say how miserable your life has been when you have ignored everything I've called you to do. Jeremiah gives us three statements, three commands. He says, stand. Stand, it's an intentional position of stillness. He's saying, stand. You might have had a crazy few weeks with work and church and family. You might have had a very quiet few weeks because of the opposite of those things. Whatever, wherever you're coming from, the word here is to stop. Stop. The new year in many ways is false, isn't it? Tomorrow is just the same as today. We don't wake up different people. Nothing changes in our family-like situation, in our work situation. Nothing changes with a date change. And in many ways, it's false. And yet, at the same time, God has put in the calendar these times. And as Paul said earlier, it is a great time to stop, to stand and look. What's the year been like? Where have I come from? What should I praise God for this year? What should I be asking God about this year? Why didn't that happen, Lord? Why am I still in this place, Lord? Is it me? What are you teaching me? What am I not hearing? We need to stand in an intentional place. We need to put ourselves in that place in these next couple of days. It doesn't have to be tonight. You're allowed to go to a party or lock yourself at home or whatever you want to do. But in the next couple of days, I challenge you to spend some time, not 2 seconds, but to spend some time to stop, to stand. He's deliberate about his geography. You're at the crossroads. That's what the new year is. You're at the crossroads. Which way will the year go? How will that work out? Where are we going with that? We are deliberately in a place. We can't get away from it. Let's stop. Let's stand. You know, for some people in this place, you've got massive decisions to make this year. And you need people with you praying. But for most of us, let's be honest, we haven't got massive decisions this year. We've got small ones. And the small decisions will shape your life. The small decisions will shape your life. And if you haven't picked up on that yet, wake up. The small decisions, whether to forgive or to hold on to unforgiveness, will shape your life. To release that jealousy and bless the person that you're jealous of. I can't help my beautiful physique. I just can't help it. Let it go. The decision to be generous or to hold on just in case. Let it go. To release that grudge. It's the small decisions that shape our lives. It's the small decisions that we need to stand and intentionally go, this is where I'm going to go. Jeremiah sees a people at the crossroads. And it is not an easy time. We think possibly the Assyrians are already on the rise, possibly already scouting out Jerusalem. You know, it's not politically an easy situation to be in. Oh, well, that's good for our nation, isn't it? Because we're not in an easy place right now. You might look at the world and think, Jesus better come back soon. Well, be ready. But until he does, stand. Think about your life. Decide how you will move forward. Jeremiah says, stand, and he says, look. He says, look. I better change my page because I'm looking at the wrong page. Look. How are you at looking? He's not here, so I can be rude to him. We have a phrase in our house called a jack look. Right? Don't tell him I've said. He won't listen to this. It'll be fine. I've got in so much trouble over family and friends listening to my sermons over the years. You would not believe. But they need to let that go, don't they? I keep saying to my mother, just let it go. It's therapy. It's a jack. Have you just done a jack look? If you want to find something in our house, you need an Ange look. Mostly because Ange just tied it away and put it somewhere, you know. She's way back there, I'm fine. What sort of look are you doing? Are you just having a little look, or your life's fine? Or are you intently looking at yourself? You know, I don't want this to be a navel-gazing sermon. Right, but there is a little bit of that we need to do, isn't there? You know, it's not all about you. It's not. Not this church, not this world, not this life. It's not all about you. It's not all about me. But there is a point in the year, and this is it, when we can go, all right, Lord, what do you need to tell me? I've recently read a book called Leadership and Self-Deception. Oh, I highly recommend it. But most of us are deceived. We are self-deceived about ourselves. We think that you are the problem. Don't we? The issue in my life is you. And, you know, you read a book like that that goes, eh-eh. The issue in your life, Nick, is Nick. Oh. And actually, when we open that up a little bit, we go, yeah, that's true. Jeremiah is saying you need to look. You need to look into your heart, into your own heart. Lord, what do I need to change in me this year? A friend of mine was telling me recently, he goes to a much more formal church than this one, which is pretty much every church in the world, probably. But anyway, he goes to a much more formal church than this one. And he goes to church one day, and he said, I'm really smart. I've got new trainers on. I've got new jeans on. I've got a Fred Perry style. He said, I was really smart. And this older brother in his suit and tie, says to me, did you think about what you were going to wear this morning? I thought, what a great line. Look at that. Who knew you were going to church with Trini and Susanna? Eh? Who knew? And I said, what did you say? He said, I didn't know what to say. I said, mate, you need to get into the Word. You need to get into the Word. You need to be saying to this guy, hey, you know, the Lord looks at the heart of a man, not the outside, 1 Samuel. Do you know that? He goes, oh, hey, that's a good one. I said, you should have used that one. Because, I said, because if not, you could have used the Jesus one. you're just a whitewashed tomb. I'm not advising you what to say when people comment on your clothing, but it's so easy to look at the outside and go, everything's fine. To look at the outside and say, aren't you great? To look at the outside and say, look at me, the perfect Christian. But what's going on underneath? And you know what? The only person who knows is you and him. And the only people who can do anything about it are you and him. Jeremiah says, stand. And he says, look. I don't know about you, but I wear glasses. I don't even notice. But if I'm in a room with somebody, Andy's quite close to me here, right? And I start talking to Andy, I can see him. I mean, you can see Andy from space. But, you know, I'm talking to Andy. I'm quite close to him. But unless I put my glasses on, I can't hear him properly. Anybody else have that? Do you know what I mean? It's like I can see him, but I can only really hear him. And the Lord doesn't only say, look, it's inferred in this word here that we also listen. What are you listening to? One of the great things about Christmas is all the trash that's on telly, isn't it? Oh, I'm just actually said the other day, I'm going to sit down with a mince pie and a cup of coffee and watch some Christmas tat. Because there's a couple of movie channels on our TV that are just Christmas movie channels. I mean, they are. It's the same movie. It's got different titles, but it's the same movie every day. And you can watch all this stuff, can't you? And I, as you know, I'm not one of those pastors who says, don't watch this, don't watch that, don't listen to this, don't listen to that. But you do need to think about what you are taking in. And over Christmas time, I said at the start, sometimes it's hard to hear God. Why? Because of the noise of rubbish coming at us. And we need to be thinking about, am I actually listening to what God is saying? Am I giving him any space to speak into my life? The Lord has spoken to me this year through Scripture. Like, I believe we have a God of prophecy. He speaks through dreams and visions. He speaks through you and me. But you know what? The way we know that what he's saying is bob on is the word of God. And the main way God speaks to us is the word of God. And if God is not speaking to you and you're not reading or listening to the word of God, could that be a coincidence? It couldn't. We need to open up our Bibles and read them. You might be a very slow, dyslexic northern lad like me. You need to find a way. I listen to the word all the time. I've got it on my phone. Plug my earphones in. Listen. Listen to what God is saying. Get into some good habits this year. The best habit I've got into this year is Audible. Audible is books that are read. That's probably a better way of putting that. But anyway, and I'm not listening to anything other than stuff that helps me in my ministry. I'm listening to Louis Giglio and Eugene Peterson and Leadership and Self-Deception. Listening to that stuff as I'm cycling, as I'm walking in the car, what you're putting in. If what you're putting in is less than the other stuff that's coming at you, don't be surprised if your spiritual life is flat. I took Facebook off my phone this morning. I have to do it every few weeks because I'm an obsessive. If you're like me, a bit of an obsessive, let's obsess about the Word of God, shall we? Stand. Look. Ask. Who's good at asking? Probably about half the congregation. I don't want to be gender specific here, but blokes are generally terrible at asking, aren't they? We don't read instructions, and we're terrible at asking. I was putting up a new cooker hood this week in our kitchen. It broke 8 years ago. I said to Ange, I'll do it. You don't have to remind me every 6 months. So it's absolutely true. And I'm doing it, and I can do it. My mum and dad were with us for a few days, and they were just leaving. And he said, do you want me to hang around and give you a hand? I don't need a hand. I'm amazing. At one point, I'm shouting, Harry! Because it's stuck against the wall. The fastenings haven't worked properly, but I can't get it off either. And I'm like, what do I do? Harry has to come in his pyjamas to help me remove it. I'm not good at asking. When Jeremiah says ask, he's not actually saying to you, ask yourself for a bit of advice. Because he's recognizing that we are self-deceived. Hey, Nick, how did you do it being a pastor last year? You were amazing, Nick. I thought so too. That's how it works. Oh. That's how it works, see? Especially with a bit of Elvis going on in the background. He's talking again about coming to God. You know, Jeremiah, we've already said, is brutal. He's saying to the people, you need to ask where the good way is. And the good way might not be the way that you are going. What do we need to change? What do we need to put in place? We need to ask. Ask where the good way is. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask for the old road, the tried and true road. Jeremiah links the Old Testament with the new. Interesting, some of you will love this little thing. Jeremiah is living at the same time as Josiah. And Josiah is that good king in the Old Testament who rediscovers the law. So the people have been doing this kind of crazy mishmash of religion. And then the priests in the temple come and say, hey, we found this incredible book. And Josiah says, oh, let's read it. And they read it and say, this is how we should live. Let's put it into place. Let's put it into action. One of the guys who finds that book is Jeremiah's father. Oh, that's good, isn't it? It's quite likely that Josiah and Jeremiah were friends as kids. I love that sort of stuff. Don't know that for sure, but it's quite likely. And so you've got a prophet saying, seek God. And you've got a king saying, seek God. But the people are still going now. We will do it ourselves. We'll go our own way. Jeremiah is saying, seek the ancient path. Jesus sums the ancient path up. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the ancient path. Stand, look, ask, and then walk. There's an action in our faith. There's something we need to do in our faith. I love coming and singing and worshiping. I love it. I'm probably not a normal man in that because I love it. I want to be engaged with God. I want to be in a place where you feel something. But you know what? So often in Scripture we are told to do something. John says, walk as Jesus walked. I love that. What will you do this year? Stand, look, ask. Will you then walk as Jesus walked? And what if you don't? What if you don't? Jeremiah tells the people, it will be brutal if you don't. Jesus says, you reap what you sow. Paul says, you reap what you sow. That, by the way, is not karma. I'm not normally one who tells people about others' theology, but the Buddhist idea of karma is that you reap what somebody else sowed or you sowed in a previous life. This modern idea is that you get something good because you did something good, or you get something bad because you did something bad. That's biblical. You reap what you sow. What was also biblical is grace. When you come to God and say, I'm sorry for sowing that stuff, he says, it's okay. You don't have to reap it. That's grace. Karma is crap. And grace is great. And make sure you know which one you're living under. Stand, look, ask, walk. Because there is a promise here. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. That's good, isn't it? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you echo Jeremiah when you say, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Lord, it's you that we come to find rest for our souls. It's you that we stand, that we look, and that we ask. Lord, I pray you'd speak to us. Lord, for those who've got big decisions this year, Lord, I pray you'd give them wisdom beyond their experience. Lord, that you would confirm the things that they're looking to. Lord, I pray for those of us who've got small decisions this year, that we would walk as Jesus walked, that we would step in your footsteps. Lord, I pray for each of us in this place, you'd give us time in this next day to meet you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.